All right.
Can.
That is some great pre-episode material. For those of you still listening, the first 2 minutes, I'm charging for that one. Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
And one.
One.
Hello, world. Hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs, bienvenue, welcome to the happy hour.
All right. Talking about charging for admission. The greatest scandal to hit the NHL in decades erupted today, thanks to Twitter and people on Twitter. It is my favorite scandal, I think, ever in the NHL. Both
it's not even real.
The scope and depth of if it could be. Oh, it would make me so happy. So happy.
Apparently,
my name's David
Rumor
O'Shea.
Was started by a Canucks fan.
Who, what?
Apparently, the rumor was started by a Canucks fan.
Just great poise. Excellent, excellent form. My name's David O'Shea. I'm at Glaucus123 on Twitter. Join us always, by Beth.
Hello. I'm at HIVRHUIT on Twitter. In Blue Sky,
fuck
if
yeah.
You are on there.
Yeah. And Veronica.
Yeah. I'm at CHILE underscore Pepper on Instagram and Twitter. And there's another one. Oh, Threads,
yeah.
And then no underscore in Blue Sky.
That's right. No underscore in Blue Sky. I don't think they fixed that yet. I'm not entirely sure. I have like 50, well, five codes. I think they cap you at five codes for people that are curious or if they
oh,
want some.
Oh, no. There's a guy that I follow, a lawyer on Twitter, and he's got hundreds.
I wonder how he managed
hundreds.
That.
Well, I guess he's been in it since the beginning. Huh. Southpaw, he's a little puppy.
Yeah, I've, mine caps at five, and I haven't gotten any, I haven't got like six, for instance. Like, it just says you have five available, and that's it. It hasn't changed in months. We're at a happy hour. At happy hour on Twitter. Yeah. Happy hour pod. Instagram. YouTube.com/happy hour. And happyhour.com. So, of course, the scandal that I'm talking about is Corey Perry betting Connor Bedard's mother. And I hope to God it is true. I hope to God it's true. Because what else does the NHL have? Every scandal is simply not as fun as this one. Either,
especially because it's Corey Perry.
Yeah, especially because it's Corey Perry, the rugged veteran, meeting the beautiful mother of the hotshot first round overall pick that will likely be Jesus Christ in 2 or 3 years.
Well, you know, Connor tweeted about it. I'm glad that he has a sense of humor.
Oh, I hope he does.
He said, I don't know what to say, but
that's
it's not
him.
True.
That's not him. It's a parody account.
Really?
That's a parody account. Yeah. I thought it was real too, because I haven't followed him or whatever. And so I sent it to a friend and they're like, oh no, that's a parody account. It's
damn
not him.
It.
I forget about paying for check marks.
Oh yeah.
It's a thing.
Blue checks.
Yeah. That's not him.
So, and the GM, who looks like a bit of a dick, by the way. Made it all worse. Like, it makes it sound like he's some kind of criminal or something.
This
wasn't Perry's choice.
No. So, okay, there's layers to this. I'm focusing on the fun infidelity. Apparently that nobody else thinks is hilarious, because I think it's hilarious. Mostly because Connor Bedard's sitting there like, damn it.
I feel so bad for him, regardless
of
whether or not it's true.
I grew up with an objectively, according to my friends, hot mother. My entire life. A friend of mine asked her out on a date for prom. That was Anthony Puro, and she said no, thank you. So, it's good having the hot mom. If Connor Bedard has a problem with it being on a national or international stage at this point in time, grow up. Grow up.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have a problem with it. Yeah.
But it's
mom they're talking about.
I feel like
it'd
be weird for your coworker to sleep with your mom.
I mean, yeah. But like, it happens. Corey Perry, it's like, it's, can you imagine going. Guys, you won't believe what happened over the weekend. Oh, what happened, Connor?
Oh, no.
Bring Corey Perry banged my mom. It's like, what? It's crazy. I know. No, I don't know what to do about it. Well, you don't do anything.
It's well, and yeah, it's just such a bonkers story.
And it's just, it's funny that it's taken off. And I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Love it.
It is funny.
It will.
I feel
this rumor will last the entirety of his career.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait. Happy Hour season 15 will still be talking about this.
I wonder, it's just so weird. Like, what could it possibly be?
Corey Perry's,
It just seems, I hope he's okay.
His Jersey retirement ceremony will include this. And I just, oh, I can't. Again, I cannot wait. The NFL has Taylor Swift. We have Corey Perry sleeping with Connor Bedard.
Oh my God.
That's how I have to see it. It's how I have to see it.
Name even.
What's
I
that?
I don't even know.
Nobody cares.
I know.
Who, Michelle?
McTurner's mom, Bonnie. Huh?
Isn't her name Michelle?
Brendan Gallagher's mom is Bonnie.
Oh.
No, she calls her Bonnie too. Isn't that his mom, Bonnie? He's best friends with his mom. It's adorable.
Connor Bedard's mom is Melanie.
Okay.
Brendan Gallagher mom. Brendan's mom is Della.
Oh, Della.
Della. And he calls her by her first name sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
Which is so funny. Cool. So and cute. then Mitch Marner's mom, I think, is Bonnie.
That's the one that Dave likes.
She's hot.
Is she hot?
Mitch Marner?
She is. Mitch Marner's mom.
Yeah.
Mrs. Marner.
That's a Marner. Whoop, I heard something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she's Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Yeah.
That's nice. So, okay, we're going to get the Habs stuff in a bit here, but this is just, it's so much more important than the Habs. And just, it's everything I could.
It's so dumb.
It's so funny.
I want to know that he's okay. Because I refuse to think something bad about Corey Perry.
That concern is valid. I thought you were going to say, I hope Connor's okay. It's like, yeah, he is.
He'll be fine. I hope they're both okay.
Yeah, it's a millionaire.
This is a lot for Connor to deal with emotionally. Listen, money solves a lot of problems. Money
it would solve this one.
Problems. Like, money does not fix emotional damage. Money pays for therapy to fix emotional damage.
Yes.
It's just, this is a lot of stress. He's 18 years old. He is playing for Chicago. They're having a horrible season. He was a first overall pick. He has all these expectations set upon him. And then his coworker sleeps with his mom. His mom sleeps with his coworker.
It's not
alleged,
true.
Allegedly.
Have you seen Corey Perry's wife? She's nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, I know. She's a smoke show.
No.
And where there's smoke, there is.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't smoke show. And their kid isn't that old, is it? Are they?
He looks like, I was gotten way too invested in this, but I was looking up all Corey Perry's wedding photos and stuff like that. He looks like he's an absolutely adores his wife.
Yes. I remember Dave made fun of his wife's name on a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
For a whole episode.
Isn't her name like
one of Corey Perry? Her name's Blakeney.
Blake, I know. It's like a made up name.
I just remembered Blakeney. What? No, I just remembered. That's amazing. So something just happened. So Tony X is, of course, having a field day with this because he's the master of any sort of NHL controversy. And he pretty much posted up a Corey Perry at the press conference, and it's the Bill Clinton. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yes. And so I retweeted that saying hockey is great again. And he just retweeted it. I'm so happy. Wow. I'm back on the map. I'm back. Yeah. Back, baby.
He gets away with a lot because he's so innocent.
Oh, he's so, and he's so good at with baseball. He's so good with football. Oh, he's funny. Objectively funny man. He should have a podcast if he does not have one already.
We should have him.
We should have him on. Wouldn't that be great?
Now that you and he are friends.
Yeah, now that
we're mutuals on Twitter. What? We had a conversation one time a couple years ago.
Oh, that's right.
And he followed me back.
That's amazing. He doesn't follow me.
Rude.
He used to follow me 3 accounts ago. Anyway.
That never ceases to amuse me.
That is, man.
How many times you've been kicked off Twitter.
I said something about, I tweeted the other week. I was like, if I say, I forget what I was mad about. I think it was something hockey related, but I was like, if I say what I want to say, I'm going to get banned. And somebody was like, Dave's still here. I'm like, he's on his 5th account. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize.
Whoever said that's been paying attention. That's good, too. That's good. Whoever that was.
Probably a listener.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't really want to make a new account.
It's a pain in the ass.
And then I was texting somebody today. It was like, the things I would post on Main if Amanda Suzuki did not follow me. Like, I'll like tweet. She's like my little like Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me not tweet this.
Because I know that's what I feel sometimes. Like Michelle Lacroix.
Yeah. And like sometimes Michelle. I'm like when I'm like critical of like a player or something, I'm like,
yeah,
Amanda Suzuki is gonna see this.
Yeah.
And she's gonna tell everybody.
Everyone.
So somebody, oh my god. Our dear friend and follower, HabsFan22.
Dan.
Oh, Dan.
Yes. Thank you, Dan. Jesus. Thank you so
Danimal.
Much.
He
responded to one of my tweets about this very true situation. He posted up the picture of Ovechkin with all the Habs moms after that game where he scored the hat trick. That's a good one. It's a real good one. Look. Real good one.
If you aren't watching the YouTube, I have a massive zit.
Oh, is that
what are you talking about?
Well, now we know.
I can't literally did not notice until you pointed it out.
Literally did not notice until you pointed it out. And now I'm like,
I'm middle aged.
But even still, like when you like, I like even if like
you're 21, Veronica, stop.
But you were talking about hot moms. Max, one time I was saying something to him about how
Dave like, is gonna.
I was joking around, right? And I was like, Max, you just keep on getting older and I just stay the same age. It's so weird. And he's like, Mom, you're the hottest mom and everybody knows it.
That is amazing.
I can just imagine him rolling his eyes.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is.
Being the kid of a hot mom. Oh my god. So all right. This is all stemming.
I want to be the hot mom.
Yeah.
But I have to have a kid for that.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. You should ask Sophia what she thinks about that. I'm sure her response would be hilarious. Now, unfortunately, as fun as this is all coming from a situation where we don't know where Corey Perry is.
He's at home. That's why I'm worried. He went home.
Or rather, why Corey Perry is. I should say. Yeah, I had an article up. Let's see here. Where Luke Richardson about this. Why isn't Corey Perry with the team? He says that there's no update on that end. He's away from the team and will remain so for the foreseeable future. I'm unable to provide any further update on that front. When asked to elaborate, he said it's been a team decision so far to hold him out. It is coming from the organization's end. And we don't really know what's up, aside from what Corey Perry's agent mentioned, saying that it's a family matter.
And that it was Corey Perry's decision.
Right.
But the way the GM, who, like I said, seems like he's a bit of a dick in Chicago, like he was kind of defensive about it. And it was our decision. And he's just making the waters even worse.
Yeah. It's very muddy. But like, and like I said in the group chat earlier, like Chicago like, different teams have different hockey teams have different reputations. Like, Montreal doesn't ever say fucking anything. We know this.
No.
I don't know really a lot about other teams. I mean, like, okay, there was New York with that letter a couple of years ago when they're like, we don't have all the answers, blah, blah, blah.
That. Yeah. Now they're a very good team.
Yeah, the Rangers. Yeah. They lost tonight, unfortunately, and Kaapo Kakko has a knee injury. I'm very sad.
Oh, yeah, they lost to, like, frickin'
Buffalo. They've literally... That's like, right. Literally, they keep getting goals called back. There was a... Okay, so a goal went off Will Cool's elbow while he had both hands on a stick, and they called it back because as a hand pass.
Yes, they called a couple of hand passes on the weekend.
He had both hands on his stick.
Load of shit.
And it bounced off his elbow. So they disallowed it. Like, the Rangers, like, I have not, like, you know how the Habs kept getting goals called back? The Rangers. That's the Rangers this season. It's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the Rangers could afford it. They'll be in the playoffs. They're doing all right, aren't they? Oh, they'll be in the, they're like
four. Did you guys see what happened in Ottawa tonight?
Oh, yeah, didn't they? What? They got annihilated.
They got annihilated. There was something that happened. Like, I retweeted a video. The ref is calling out penalties for like 30 seconds. And at the end, he's like, and every player on the ice gets a 10-minute major. And then apparently 2 minutes after that, two more players got 10-minute majors.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Anyway, I'm going to text Christopher.
Yes. Anyway, we're going back to transparency. Teams have different reputations when it comes to transparency. But with Chicago, with their recent history of ridiculousness and horribleness and scandals and whatever, they have claimed that they're going to be more open and transparent about things. And then this happened and they were not. And so now people are very distrusting about anything that comes out of the organization or any of the Chicago sports news media about it because of everything that's been happening with their other scandals. And then also because they're not saying anything and giving any sort of insider clarity, people are picking things up and running away with them.
Yeah.
So this whole thing with Connor Bedard, and also given the fact that if it were a crime or substance abuse issues, we would know about it because crimes are publicly recorded. And then the NHLPA Player Assistance Program, there would have come out about it more than likely. Usually they do at some point within a few days of the player entering. Because there was another player from Colorado.
Yeah.
And there was, I somebody has mentioned it multiple times and I keep forgetting the name of the player and what team he's on. There was a player in a recent season whose daughter, I think his child was like going through cancer treatment and he like withdrew from the team for a little bit for personal reasons, didn't say why. And then later on, it came. I want to say it was like an island or something, but that's just me picking something that sounds right. Like it came out. He came out later and said, "This is why I stepped away from the team." But it was because his kid was like going through like a really significant illness. So like that's like the only other thing I can think of. Because if it were a crime or substance abuse, we would know about it. In some way, shape, or form, somebody, if it were a crime, somebody would have found the log about it because that's public record.
Yeah. And
they talk about substance abuse stuff in the player assistance program, like very openly.
Yep. They do.
It annoys me that they had to come out with sort of competing statements and sort of basically saying, we wanted him to step away. And that just made it worse. I'm very angry about that from a PR standpoint.
Yeah, like, and it's, by continuing to not offer anything of substance and clarity, they're making it worse for themselves.
It's so, like, does this happen in any other entity, sports, business, like this? Honestly, like, I don't know, freaking, let's take a quarterback, any NFL team.
They get arrested all the time and they're like,
well, you know, not even arrested. Say they just disappear and the organization's like, we don't want them with the team at the moment. It's like, wait, what? Oh my God. If that happened, there would be freaking cops circling the coach to make sure that they find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How does the NHL get away with this nonsense? Just say it's a, it, Did they even say it's a family matter? That's what the agent said.
No, right. No, I think not until
his
Corey
agent
Perry,
said it was.
Yeah. But that was multiple. That was after multiple days of Corey Perry being away from the team, and that was like after the team. It was after the team finally addressed it, like maybe twice in a press conference. But I think it was still like 3 or 4 days of him not playing in games and not being in practice.
Yeah, they're making it sound like they fired him. You know, like I don't know, man.
And isn't he like in a long term contract with them?
1 year only.
1 year, isn't it? But it's still cap friendly to the rescue.
$4 million, I think.
We love cap friendly. Yeah, I think I thought, okay, maybe that's what I was thinking. It was like a high dollar amount. Corey Perry.
For some reason, I thought it was only 1 year. And briefly, I thought
it's 1 year, $4 million.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe he's coming to the Habs.
Like at first, I really thought it was a trade. I really thought that they were working on a trade for him to go somewhere. And it was like taking a little bit longer than they expected. And so they were just keeping him out for like not to keep him uninjured or whatever. But then like it got to be like 3 days.
Yeah.
And he wasn't practicing, wasn't skating, nothing.
Very mysterious.
That's weird.
I hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay. I hope his family is okay.
Yeah.
Like,
and I will eat my hat if it turns out that he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
In like, real life.
We loved him and the time that he was here with the Canadians, like he bled his own blood for us.
Yes.
And he like I was so resistant to loving him, so resistant. and he made me love him. Made me love him, and I will be very sad if it turns out that he is a shitbag.
I would just be so surprised.
Like, cause he's very annoying as a hockey player.
That's why you want him on your team.
Yeah. I remember like hating anytime when he's on the Ducks.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, fucking Corey Perry. Like, I really just wanted Carey Price to just take his blocker and just hit him on the head whenever. Cause he would Brendan Gallagher him. He was always in the blue paint, always being annoying to Carey Price. And I was like, just bonk him right on the head. Little bunny with him. And
you know who was happy? Carey Price and Shea Weber. They were happy.
They were like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We work with him now. We can use his powers for good. I mean, and the team, the rest of the team loved him too. Like he was a good presence here. And I'm going to be really sad if it turns out that he sucks and we have to hate him.
The one thing that is seared into my memory, speaking of Amanda Suzuki, is that game that they beat the Leafs, where Corey Perry had to go and get his nose stitched back onto his face. That there wasn't a penalty called on that play. I still can't believe it.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And he came out to say, like, to say congratulations to the boys. And Nick did like this. Like, come here.
Yes.
Come here for a hug. And it's just like that affection between the two of them. You know, that's what I think about when I think about Corey Perry. So I hope he's fine.
Yeah.
But they are making this the speculation run rampant. And it's their own fault.
And frankly, it is, because it leads to the current speculation. Oh, well, Corey Perry's not with the team because he fucked Connor Bedard's mom. And now that's a thing, like, it's because of how mercurial they were about the news in the first place. You don't have to tell us the details.
No.
Just have to know. They didn't even say Corey Perry asks that everyone be respectful of his privacy. Yeah. They didn't even say anything like that, you know?
And at least I don't think so. That's really not hard to do. Just be like, Corey Perry is away with the team. Corey Perry is away from the team. He asks that everyone respects his privacy at this time. Like, they don't even have to say it's a family issue. They just have to say this, like, this is what's going on. Like, just make a statement. And people are going to no matter what. Fans are going to speculate. But it would not have been nearly as bad if the team had just made a statement at the beginning. And maybe they didn't know that it was going to like take this long, or like whatever the situation is, maybe like ballooned into something out of the scope of what they initially thought it was going to be. But like they took way too long to say anything of substance, and they still haven't said that much. and they keep shooting themselves in the foot.
Yep.
It's not even a full moon. Lots of crazy shit going on in the NHL today. Apparently, Shesterkin was not happy, breaks his stick in half, walking again off the ice, losing to the Sabres.
Was this the Ottawa game?
That was New York and Buffalo. Mm. But Ottawa, yeah, every player on the ice, I want to watch that third period.
I sent you the tweet.
Yeah. The another thing I noticed is Brady Tkachuk trying to be a big man to someone on the Panthers, and the Panthers is just not even giving them the time of day, practically.
David.
Huh?
There's literally a full moon today.
Oh, there isn't. It's this weekend.
Today is November 27th. Moonface. Yeah, full moon, November 27th, 4:16 a.m.
No, wait a goddamn second. I'm looking at it right now. One moment.
It's the full moon. It is November
27th. Oh, it's the Beaver Moon! Woo!
Oh, the Canadian.
Yes!
Beaver Moon.
Beaver Moon. That's cool. That's weird. I had a CNN article saying this weekend, the full moon. Like, okay.
No, it's today.
Thanks,
yeah,
CNN.
I saw one.
And I had a crazy ass day.
I did too.
Not
actually.
As crazy as Connor Bedard.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's so dumb.
So the Habs played hockey this past week.
Did they?
Oh yeah, they did, actually. I think this may be the first time that they had a winning record coming out of the West Coast. Granted, of course, I say that. I'm thinking, oh, wait, I think they did it last year or two and whatnot. But we're going to talk about that now.
Yay.
So Montreal played three games last time that we got together against the Ducks, Le Canard, the Sharks, and the Kings.
I really thought you were going to say, I was like, oh, how do you say shark in French?
I have no idea. No idea.
We're probably getting yelled at right now.
I know duck, because duck is, that's a fun one, a canard.
Yeah, canard.
And then a king is just,
tiburon.
I don't know what king is, actually.
Shark in French.
Boop.
Requin.
Okay.
Requin.
Your thing switched.
My
it's your
God.
Own fault.
How did that happen? Rick,
it's so goofy. Dave is mad.
I'm sorry.
She didn't do anything.
Looking at things. It's it has to be.
I don't know how to fix.
You have to get it out of focus and into focus again. I'm guessing.
There you go.
Nope, it's her.
Nope.
Yeah.
How do I get it out of focus?
You look like a face painter. Oh, there you go.
Oh,
okay.
You did.
There you go.
No!
Oh, no.
I did something with my watch. And
you're
going
to have to tell whatever program you're using to actually look at a green screen and impose it on that.
I'm just using Zoom, and that's literally it.
Yeah. There's a setting somewhere, because I think it's trying to auto-do it. And it's like, oh, right, something went out of focus, so now whatever is this thing is the other thing.
And then
but
there you go. Don't move.
Cool.
So let's see.
If you're not watching on YouTube, check out YouTube.
Yeah.
For to find out
at about the half hour mark.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wonder if did I catch this game against the Ducks? It doesn't ring a bell for me for some reason.
OT, right?
No. Ducks was in regulation 4-3. It was their first win in Anaheim in regulation since 2004.
And guess, okay, so the last time the Habs won in Anaheim in regulation was 4 days before Slefkovsky was born.
There yes, that's right.
Took a whole life.
A whole Slefkovsky.
That's funny. That's awesome.
And I pronounced shark improperly in French, but
that's okay.
I just want people to know that it's R-E-Q-U-I-N. So Rekha?
Q-U-I-N?
R-E-Q-U-I-N.
Rekha? Rekha? Anyways, our listeners.
It's a requin. Yeah. As opposed to a penguin.
Requin for a dream.
That's a movie you can only watch once.
Yes.
Anyway.
And so...
Alex Newhook, Caden Gooley, Mike Matheson, Alex Newhook. Oh, no. Hey. Oh, yeah.
He's on a tear.
Bro, Alex Newhook is great.
He's great. I love that picture that they posted of him, the Habs, where he looks like so awkward, like posing,
where he's the
modeling,
the meme.
Yes. No, it's a picture from.
Because like, I love that they got him to pose for that.
Yeah. Are you frozen? No.
Wait, are you guys? Hold on.
Can you hear us?
You guys are frozen for me. Am I frozen for you?
Nope, no, I can hear everybody.
I can hear you. Okay, you're not frozen anymore.
What are you looking at, David?
I'm jotting down the episode name. So, as you mentioned, Newhook.
Oh, no.
Newhook with two goals. That's awesome. First star of the game. Followed also by, Gooley, Matheson. Oh, that's something about the Habs that's interesting. The Habs lead the NHL in goals scored by defensemen. That's, No. We need our superstar forwards to be scoring goals as opposed to our defensemen. It's kind of bizarre because there are more forwards on the team, you know, just by personnel. And it's not great because as we've seen in other games that we're going to get to the Kings game in a bit, it's not a winning formula. The Sharks are a terrible team. Objectively, probably the worst statistically in every category that you can come up with. The Habs had to take them to a shootout. Granted, Ilinen, an incredible shootout winner. Ooh. Once we got into like the eighth fucking round of it.
But
won it. That's good. Also, he's from Arizona. Who would have known? It's Ullinen as well. I didn't realize
Ullinen.
That. Ullinen.
Jesse Ullinen.
Ullinen.
I love him. He just...
Yeah.
Somebody made a joke, I think, about him. Is it him who has a really long neck?
Yes.
Somebody made a joke about him being the enemy of neck guards everywhere. And I was like, let's...
That is pretty funny.
I wanted to talk about the neck guards just briefly.
Oh, yeah.
Austin Matthews is wearing one.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is a great show of leadership. Yes. I do. Because, you know, once kids start seeing Austin Matthews wears one or Connor McDavid wears one, and then it's just going to be like a thing.
I think Gallagher has one too, come to think of it.
Yeah. Does he?
I believe so. At least at practice, he's been seen with it.
But it's a great show of leadership, I think. And it's a stupid thing to resist it. Why would you resist something that could save your life?
Yeah, it's definitely not a rarity now. I mean, it's definitely not the majority, but, you know, there's definitely people you watch the game like, oh, that guy's a neck guard on and all that. So, safety first, as always. I was actually just reading an article today from, the article was released maybe 2 weeks ago, but I'm catching up on my news, and it was highlighting teenage deaths in contact sports due specifically to CTE. But it's not just football, soccer, even, and hockey, of course. And a lot of folks are, you know, at least in the States, very, you know, partisan about it. You know, it's like, oh, well, it's the sport and et cetera. It's not the other thing. And other people are saying, well, you know, there should be no contact sports until kids are like in high school, you know, because in the States, you're playing football, you're playing tackle football in like middle school.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going ham, right? And there's either kids dying just from the trauma or mental illness, suicide, et cetera, things of that nature. So if you can put on a neck guard to keep your, you know, neck from getting sliced by a blade, do it. Anyway, Habs won the game against the Ducks, thank God. Squeaked past the Sharks, thank God. God, because that would
well, but we just took it for granted that they were going to lose to the Sharks. So,
I mean, it was the worst team in the league. Boy, I would have been. Oh man, that shootout thing was so long. Anyway,
it was very long.
It was so bad. Oh my god,
so many rounds.
Yep. I mean, but the Habs came back. It was 2-0, tied it up, third period, Cole Caulfield. Thank God.
Did not watch that game because I was watching the Trois Rivières Lions.
Oh, that's right. You were out there having fun. Play
our local team, and they won.
Hell yeah.
Yay!
And I saw a young man who looked just like Alex Newhook.
On the team, right.
On the team, but his name was Anthony Beauregard.
That is Beauregard?
Yes.
We have a Beauregard on Le Lyon, and he might be my favorite player.
He's good. He scored 2 goals.
Attaway, Beauregard. Attaway.
Joe Verbedic.
Good show. Good show, chap.
It was a good game. It was a very good game.
Beauregard.
I was the only person pretty much cheering for the Lion, but we were sitting behind the Lion bench, and so everybody would boo when they scored, and so I would go le boo, and then I only when they won.
But
Joe Verbedic did not play that night. He played the next night, and I saw him. He was there, but He did not play. There was other goalie playing.
How rowdy are fans at an ECHL game for you?
Oh, they go fucking. They are insane.
Like
the lady next to me. The lady next to me was wearing an Edmonton Oilers hat, a Colorado Avalanche like Under Armour shirt, and a Canucks jersey, and she was wasted.
Oh no.
She was definitely like in her like 40s or 50s. She was wasted.
That's what I mean.
She was on her feet the entire game. Like, well, the guy was like telling her to sit down because of flying pucks. So she is like crouching like above her seat the entire game, yelling at the Admirals, which are our local team. There's season ticket holders that are there every game that people know, and they like will yell like the same. They have like special chirps and everything for different players on the opposing teams.
Oh, like they have incredibly insightful knowledge about people on the other team.
ECHL season ticket holders are on another level.
Yeah, they are insane. Some of the shit that comes out. Like I have to literally like move sections sometimes because I'm like, I can't listen to this garbage. I remember going,
when I was in college, I worked next to the South Carolina Stingrays, and so I would go to those games all the time. Players would come into the bar that I worked at all the time, like stuff like that. So like they would bring us tickets and stuff and whatever, and like it was the same thing there. Like it was bonkers. Like it was so intense. Like there's people that have had season tickets like since the team's inception. Sometimes I feel like they're even more intense than NHL fans. Like it's on another level. I don't even know how to describe it.
Oh, it is. I've seen people get kicked out too, just from how rowdy they are.
I've seen more people get kicked out of ECHL games than I've ever seen get kicked out of NHL games. I think the only time I've ever seen somebody get kicked out of an NHL game was when they were racist to
people.
They told that guy to go play basketball.
Oh, right. Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they could. I
forget his name.
Probably fairly well too.
Yeah, and also people bring wild because they're stuff.
Athletes. That's my point.
Yes. If they wanted to, they could. But that's also you don't say that to somebody like this is
unless you're Michael Jordan. I mean, well, because he went with baseball.
Yeah,
he wasn't that good.
And also golf
and golf.
Yeah,
wasn't that good. And then
who was that player?
Imagine if he played hockey.
Oh my God. He'd be an enforcer.
Yeah. Michael Jordan. So, anyways, Caulfield gets a 5-on-5 goal, his second of the season, which is great. And then we get to the Kings game. And that Kings game was probably the worst game the Habs have played all season. It was
boring AF.
That was.
I didn't watch it. I was at Friendsgiving.
Awful, awful, awful,
awful, awful, awful.
Terrible. Awful. Now, with that being said, it was the first time the Habs were shut out all season.
Yeah.
That is nothing to snuff at.
Nope.
I think that's decent. The Kings are a very good team. Very good team. Oh, my
fucking
Lord.
Bergevin.
Those guys, yep, they're the Berge plan continues. Oh, my Lord. And I, you know, I forgot that they got Pierre-Luc Dubois. I was like, holy
Devontae
shit.
Devontae Smith-Pelly.
So did I.
Oh, yeah, DSP. Good dude. Yeah, that game, I mean, it should have been, oh my God, I'm remembering parts of it.
Horrible.
The first period, the Habs had one shot on goal the entire period, and it didn't come from the offense. It came from a clear from Matheson from his own zone that just happened to hit the goalie. Not great. Not great. But it's becoming a tale as old as time now. Once the defense is better and they're actually playing defense, the offense will come. And that's just going to take time.
Three goals were scored by Trevors. Two by the same Trevor.
Boo, wow. Trevor.
Yeah.
Douchebag.
Well, and then a good thing is that Matheson is back. He's back to his old self.
Yes. Yeah. He's not like, you know, blowing the game for us anymore. Because
he was trying to be Shea. He was trying too hard to be Shea Weber.
He's so crafty.
Oh, yeah. Super Matheson. Smart guy.
Yeah.
He's now our Corey Perry.
He's now our Corey Perry. But he's just like dipsy doodles. And it's quite fun to watch.
And Jordan Struble, man.
Yes.
Very, very smart. Oh, my God. He had that that no-look pass to, I think it was Kovacevic in the Sharks game, I think it was. And just the most perfect way to do that rather simple play, look in a direction where you're not passing. But he nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And it's great, great, you know, distraction for anybody that they're defending against. So, you know, Struble's doing well. I think Matthias Norlander was up with the team as well now because of a reason, since Jack Eye's on retroactive IR for whatever reason. What else is going on there? And Armia just getting called up, down, up, down, up, down from Laval because he was with Rocket earlier in the week, and then he got I think he got called up in the middle of the Sharks game, which is weird.
Wow. I thought it was towards the end.
No, I mean, it was during the game, though. That certainly during the game. I was like, why? Something must have happened. But then he did not play against the Kings. I think something's weird with that.
I don't know.
Imagine shipping the guy out to LA.
Yeah, that's a long trip
for him just to be there and then go straight back home.
I mean, appreciate the sun, but what can you do? So there's all that. And then that brings us to the conclusion of the Western Road Swing. The last away game is on Wednesday in Columbus, the Paris of Ohio. and there's only two games this week. It's Columbus and then the Panthers.
And they're fucking on one.
Yeah, I mean, if the Panthers carry over any of this animosity against the Senators, holy crap. I mean, their reputation from last year being the bruiser team, just pretty much hitting their way through the playoffs, is carrying over into the regular season this season, apparently. And I don't like that, so I hope Jack Eye's back for that.
Second in the Eastern Conference behind the Bruins.
Yeah, it was very, very frustrating it must have been frustrating to play that game for the Habs. The Kings did not let them do anything.
They were very good.
I was wrong. So in the division, they're second, and then in the conference, they're third. Third, yes. But in the division, they're second behind Boston. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar's not there anymore, but they have friggin' what's his nuts?
Weegar. Isn't he the one that Paul Byron?
Yeah, he's with Calgary now.
Yeah.
Why can I hate the fucking NHL app? I should be able to click on a team. I should be able to click on a team from here and go to their fucking page.
Nope.
But no.
Nope.
It's funny you thought that.
There's not even a search. There's not even a search option in here.
No, it is the worst.
Like,
it's funny you would assume that.
Like, why am I not allowed to look at team stats on the NHL app? Like, even the teams that I follow.
You're going to have to get the specific Habs app for that.
No, I have the Habs app, but what if I want to look at another fucking team? I got
to it's like 12 clicks away.
There's not even a click. Like, how do
it's it, you get there It's not intuitive.
Oh, you can go
okay, how to so get
you,
there.
You go to the, you go to the home page. You go to latest, and then you click this drop down, and you can scroll through every goddamn team in the fucking league until you get the one that you want, and then you can click on that. Florida Panthers. Okay, this is like fucking cell phone 101 for boomer hockey fans. We're goddamn ridiculous.
It is incredible how in this age that we still can't get a UI up on the fucking NHL app.
But look, absolutely crazy. I still can only look at the latest, the schedule, the video, tickets, roster, and shop. What if I want
to see It's lazy because the NHL has nothing but money.
And like, nothing else to
just
do.
Get a good...
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Jesus Christ.
So I was comparing...
I want to see game stats.
Yeah, against last year's Western Road swing. I want to make sure I got the right one. Yep, start in. Wow. Oh, no, this is this. No, I'm lying. I'm such a dumb, silly person. I'm so dumb.
Stop it. Stop it.
Incredibly deficient of intelligence. Habs went 1-3 last year on the Western Road swing. But that's the Sharks, Kings, Ducks, and Knights. So this one they only had the three there. So if it was just those three teams, they went 1-2. This year, 2-1. Bitches. What up? Bitches. Oh, and that was the beginning of a 7-game skid. Oh, last year. How much fun you were.
Oh my god.
What a great time to be alive and a Habs fan.
Yes. Minnesota fired their coach.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Bill Guerin said no more.
Bill Guerin said, he's so fun.
He is so fun. I want to meet that fella again and watch him talk to ladies.
Weren't we supposed to have him on?
We did, but I guess we weren't man enough.
Yeah.
Because they went on Unfiltered. Nothing against Habs Unfiltered. Absolutely adore those guys, but he definitely went with them and not with us. And I'm like, it was that's so funny.
It was so funny because he's like, hey, if you ever want me to come on your podcast, we're like, okay, like, who are you?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. He's like,
offered.
Just
we didn't know.
What it was about that interaction, I was like, oh yeah, sure, we can do that. He's like, yeah, just talk to my communications guy. I'm like,
yeah. Where are you?
You have a communications guy? And we talked to him. He said, oh, yeah, we'll figure it out. And we never did. I emailed him twice.
Oh, God damn it.
And I'm a white man.
Yeah.
Well, damn it.
Our chances
the lady
had to
ratio
be.
Was
I was
high.
I was apoplectic. I'm going to talk to your manager. Oh, wait, I can't. Get it? Because.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of.
Yeah.
Yield Orchard renamed themselves to fit in with the Quebec. They're still. I forget what they named, but it's still
Yield Arbor.
No, they had to rename themselves in Quebecois to fit in with the Quebec language laws.
Ye old.
Hold on.
That's gonna be old French. Did they have to go that far? That doesn't really.
What's it called now?
Ye old. I'll have to go up there.
That's back when I used to listen to TSN 690 all day long. That has one of the best jingles. Gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard pub.
So I
gotta
searched.
Gotta go.
I was trying to find the tweet because I think I quote tweeted it and it says something about drinking with Martin Saint Louis. And so I searched my Twitter name and then Marty. And apparently in February, I said, Marty is looking extra scrumptious.
He's so like a little teddy bear or something. Marty.
He is very handsome.
The eyelashes.
He has bastard. Such nice eyelashes.
Yeah.
After like 27 years. Eyelashes. After 27 years of being known as Ye Old Orchard Pub, the sign outside the Mongkong Avenue restaurant and bar changed this week to Maison Publique Orchard.
A public house orchard.
Yeah, that can live with it. Sucks. Come on.
It's like, why does it have to be so black and white? I understand that you want to preserve your heritage and culture because, you know, it's very unique. Montreal and the province of Quebec are another country within this country.
Yes.
And you want to embrace that, but it's like making English illegal.
The only way that you preserve a language
together.
The only way that you preserve a language, and I think I might be quoting Tolkien, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, because he was, you know, a linguistics professor, the guy.
I didn't know that.
The only way for a language to be preserved indefinitely is through the arts. We don't know Sanskrit except through Gilgamesh. We don't know right. Old English except through Beowulf. Or Old Germanic, maybe. One of the two.
And then
we also... Tales. What's that?
Canterbury Tales. The Canterbury Tales.
Yes. Yes. He said yeah. Beowulf, but I...
But, okay.
For sure. Yeah. If a language has no epic prose, no music, and there's certainly a lot of Quebecois music out there, they're fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Using laws to push English away from it is just counterproductive to being a citizen of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, there's all kinds of history in the province of Quebec and all kinds of trouble with the English and everything else. But the English, I mean, like the actual English England people. But I don't know. As a lover of language, I don't see... I was listening to a podcast the other day where...
Not
ours. I've never listened to ours. That's
me neither. Bad. Actually, never.
Listen to see if
no, I'm just like, Marcus played.
Yep. Done. Got it.
But the origin of the Oxford Dictionary, which is like the, the standard for the English language, the part of the reason that it was invented was because of the Bible, because nobody could read the fucking Bible because it was like all this weird language. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was kind of fascinating. I'm not as eloquent as the podcaster was, but I love all that. I love that stuff.
Language is fascinating.
I love it. And why we all have different languages all over the world. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We don't all speak the same language.
The universal language was actually smote down by God. There's a biblical thing on that.
It's called the Tower of Babel.
Yep, but Tower of Babel.
But I saw yesterday, I saw a TikTok about it, and it was like, why was God so mad about the Tower of Babel, but he's okay with the International Space Station?
True story.
Because God's not real.
Makes one wonder. God works in mysterious ways, Beth. So, take it. No, take it or leave it. Too bad. One of the funniest, and we're starting to run out of time, but one of the funniest reels that I've ran into in a long time is a guy dressed as Jesus, acting as Jesus, and the quote, let he without sin cast the first stone. You know what I mean? So, all of a sudden, some wrestling music comes in, intro music, and it's like, oh, here comes Sinless Steve! the guy's built, too. He has, like, a stupid, like, you know, those underwear pants that the wrestlers wear, whatever. The
priest.
He's just a stacked dude, just, like, walking like this, and he has, like, a big S as a buckle belt, for Sinless Steve. He's like, oh, he's picking up a rock! He's aiming! And here comes Jesus with the chair! It's like, that's oh my God. Awesome. That made me, I'll share it once we get great. Off of this. It just Sinless Steve! Oh no! Sinless Steve,
that's fucking
oh
awesome.
My God, what a time suck TikTok and this those little, reels on and Instagram.
But they're so funny. I learned so many things hours. On there. I learn a lot.
I'm gonna find
yeah. where you guys are. Like I learned there's that so people that speak ASL have accents. Like people from the South, they sign with a drawl and they'll like, exaggerate things in the same way, in a similar way that people who speak with Southern accents do. And then they sign a little bit slower in different ways. And then people, well, because like Southern.
Yeah.
Like speeches like syrupy. Yeah. And then people from New England will do like a little more like clipped. Signing and like the vocal speakers do
yeah
and then people from the Midwest, they say will like speak in the same like this with the same like a speed rate or whatever something that like they Fargo. Do in the Midwest and whatever. Like I was like, that's so fascinating.
That
like,
is fascinating.
I never actually. Even realized like that was a thing.
It wouldn't have occurred to me at all.
We can talk about that and things that we've been watching. I have two things.
Okay.
One of this deals with language.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Napoleon the movie was really weird.
The new one? I haven't seen it.
I did not like it.
I haven't seen it.
You can watch it for free on Apple TV in like another day or two. Okay. If you want to watch Joaquin Phoenix be Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
Which is, great. Directed by Ridley Scott. Guy knows what he's doing. And then this particular movie... Oh, just so fucking
Ridley's
weird.
A bit of an odd one.
He can be. Sometimes he's on it, sometimes he's off it. And this is one of his, he has a lot of tics and talks, and this is a talk. I was like, very weird.
Okay, good to know.
So keep that in mind if you're ever curious about the movie. But here's the thing that upset me the most about it, because with Napoleon, great an incredible general, short dude, despite being short,
average height.
Accomplished greatness. Incredible greatness. It's the last time France was great, I would say, in historical blah, blah, blah terms and blah, 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 nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But Napoleon ought to also be known for another thing. The campaign in Egypt, which was, rather easy for Napoleon, given blah, blah, blah circumstances, technology, etc. This and the other thing. While the army was garrisoned near, probably Cairo, I think, there was a lieutenant walking around the base, and they're in a base built by, Egyptians however many years ago, and they had rocks that they brought from another place. They built all the buildings and walls and bullshit. Guy's walking around, looks at one of the walls, sees a bunch of crap on it. He's like, that doesn't look like a stone. So he, gets a general over. General looks at it. He's like, that looks important. That's the Rosetta Stone. The reason we know ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs is because of Napoleon's campaign. And a random lieutenant in the French army noticed the stone with stuff on it. And for those that don't know, the Rosetta Stone has three languages on it. The top one was a very specific... French is French, but Quebecois French is a dialect. Had a dialect of Egyptian with all the, all the symbols and everything. Then there was Egyptian that everyone for all of antiquity and history saw across all the stone slabs around. And then underneath that was ancient Greek. And what did everybody know? Greek. And it was a story told in each of those languages. So the only reason we know ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs is because of Napoleon. And that was not in the movie.
I didn't realize that.
It should have been in the movie.
It should have been. Because it's the most... It's one of the craziest things that could
have... I didn't even know that story.
Oh, yeah. And it's absolutely... This isn't one of my... Oh, I think this is true. No, that happened. That happened. Yes. And the reason we know ancient... Egyptian is because of Napoleon. He even looked at the stone at some point. He's like, oh, wow, what a great stone. Then he went off to try and stop his wife from having sex with everybody.
As one does.
The movie primarily focused on that. And I'm like, so strange. What a weird thing to do. Now, another movie that I watched last week. Oh, yeah. Now, another movie that I loved this movie is something called... The Holdovers? Yes, The Holdovers. A curmudgeonly instructor at a New England prep school remains on campus during Christmas break to babysit a handful of students with nowhere to go. He soon forms an unlikely bond with a brainy but damaged troublemaker, and with the school's head cook, a woman who just lost a son in the Vietnam War. This takes place in 1970, and the lead actor is Paul Giamatti as the teacher.
Oh, wow.
It is a fantastic movie. It might be my favorite movie of the year. I was like, this is so fucking cool.
I saw him doing the press tour. I love Paul Giamatti. Oh. And I started watching John Adams.
Oh, what do you think?
I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I'm
into that shit.
If I'm starting to watch late at night, it's there's no use.
Yeah.
But I just love the period dramas.
That's exactly what it is. Oh my God. Yeah. It's such a great period. Like I like it. But yeah. The holdovers, if you want to watch a cool movie over the holiday while like in theater, and I don't think it'll be in theaters for very long, but what a cool, cool, well-made movie. Like it takes place in the 70s. I think was taped in a manner to make it look like it was made in the 70s as well. Ooh. Oh, it's so great. I really liked it.
Like the kind of faded film and like, you know, the little hair all of a sudden that'll be on the on the screen.
The grain, you know? Little stuff. Piece of fuzz. Yeah. They also had like all of the really old banners for the movie studios and stuff for the intro stuff. It was so fun. It was such a great movie.
Cool.
Really liked it.
Sounds cool. Yeah.
So that's what I watched. That's me.
Nice. And you, Beth?
I went and saw The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Ooh.
The new Hunger Games movie. It was very good. I really like the Hunger Games books and movies. I actually recently got my dad into them. He's always been a big reader, but he's like been asking me for books and stuff whenever I ask him what he wants for a gift.
Oh, cool.
So I got him the box set with all four. I wish we could have gone together, but he is on the other side of the country. But it was a very good movie. And normally, like, the movie is over 2.5 hours long, and normally in movies like that long, I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm going to have a panic attack. I need to step outside. Like, I feel like I'm trapped, but it didn't feel like it was that long at all. I actually kind of wish it was longer because there was stuff that they left out of the movie that was in the book. Like it felt like you were watching two movies. Honestly, like the way it was split up. And I wish like they made it two movies, but it was still very good. I didn't feel like there was a lot of filler. Like it was just constant action, but relevant action. It was really good. Music was really good. Then so District 12, if you're not familiar with the Hunger Games, District 12 is a mining area, and it's according to the map of Panem, which is what the United States becomes in this post-apocalyptic future. District 12 is set it basically in parts of Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina. And like, I'm watching the movie and I'm like, does this look like Appalachia? Like, does this look real? And then it looked really good. And then later I realized like, oh, it was filmed in North Carolina. So of course it's going to look proper, like it should. But they did a really good job. I highly recommend it. It's a really, if you have not gotten into the Hunger Games, highly recommend it. At least watching the movies. They're very well done. But also the books are very good. Suzanne Collins has done a very good job with that world building.
Good. Is she Mormon?
I don't believe so.
Who's she?
Suzanne Collins, the author of the books.
Oh.
Oh, Mormon. Not the United States Senator.
No.
Suzanne.
I believe he's learned his lesson.
Oh, God.
She's from Hartford, Connecticut. So I don't think she's Mormon.
The senator?
No, the author. The author.
I only ask that because there are a frightening amount of Mormon authors that pen young adult books. Because
I misspoke. It's not post-apocalyptic. It's dystopian future. Yeah. My bad. But no, there are. It's probably because they don't have anything better to do or they want to escape.
True.
There is a bonkers AF story. Dave, you'll know this for sure.
Nexium?
About the Mormons.
Oh.
Like talking back like the 20s or something like that.
Okay.
1920s.
All right.
These people with their religion is just bonkers. What they ended up doing, I'm telling this very badly, but they were like, you know, Donald Trump, it's like, they're out to get us. Everybody's out to get us. And so they dressed up because they were being perverts and polygamous and raping young children and all of that stuff. They didn't want the rest of the country kind of knowing what they were up to. And these people came to, you know, to settle in the area. And the Mormons painted themselves and wore headdresses pretending to be Indians and murdered. Like, it was like a massive massacre. This is a true story that happened. This is something that happened and nobody talks about.
I
heard it on a podcast.
I wouldn't put it past the Mormons. Like, they are a secretive people.
Pretty bonkers shit.
And they're pretty racist, too.
And they're super racist.
Pretty racist, yeah.
And all of these church things and everything, they just seem to be a front for pedophiles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how else am I supposed to diddle young people?
I have to
form a church now. I have to form a church so I can do it.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass.
It is. Gross. It, like, I would never leave my child with one of these motherfuckers.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely not. Nope.
My own children didn't have a babysitter for years. Because my mom was their only babysitter, because it's just like, no, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the people, like, these parents trust these people. Anyway, that's not what I was going to talk about, but I've taken up my time.
Oh. Well, did you watch anything interesting aside from the Mormon massacre?
Well, actually, I've been, in this house, we love the show Friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my two Gen Z kids have watched the entire thing many times. And so we were sad when we heard that Matthew Perry had left us. And so I was kind of doing, like, binging it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also went onto YouTube to watch his 5-part interview with Diane Sawyer that he gave after he wrote his book, after his book came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, he was living with such darkness that I didn't realize. He was simply tortured by the time that he lost, you know, dealing with his addiction and everything else. And I think that he had finally reached a place of peace with himself. And he's very, very smart. And he's very, very honest about everything in this interview. It was pretty heartbreaking. But I kind of feel like maybe he, I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened, but maybe he just kind of felt like I can leave now. I can go now, you know, because he had a real clarity, you know, and how much his friends loved him, his friends on Friends loved him and everything. So, so yeah. I was watching that and saw a side of Matthew Perry that I hadn't seen before. Right. And I'm glad that he shared it with us, because I think that he can, that his legacy can be everybody that he can help.
Yeah.
Posthumously.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. I think Friends, that's all we got tonight.
So, Friends, it's so problematic. Like, it's only like a 25-year-old show, and it's just like, oh shit, look at this stuff that they were saying on TV back then.
The 90s were wild.
The 90s were wild, man. It's such like, you cannot get away with that shit now.
Mm-mm. No way.
Oh, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So let's see here. All right. Habs got 2 games this week, and then that's it. Then we're in the month of December.
December.
And so that'll be Columbus on Wednesday. Then back home for the Panthers on Thursday. Then they get a break Friday. Oh, when I say this week, excuse me, I have the month up. So 3 games this week. So on Saturday, it'll be Detroit on Saturday. That should be fun.
Jeff Petrie.
Yay. Yeah. That's it.
Terrible last time we played, so.
Yeah, he was, I don't know why, but he just sucks when he plays the Habs.
Good. God damn it. Good. All right, let's see. Okay, that's it then. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye. Like and subscribe.
Tell your friends.
We'll be back. Goodbye.
Like and subscribe.
Bye.
Leave your comments. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, I had comments up for talking.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have two options.